first reading is from Isaiah chapter 9, verses 2, 6, and 7. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this.
But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. Therefore Israel will be abandoned until the time when she who is in labor bears a son, and the rest of his brothers return to join the Israelites. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they will live securely, for then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth.
The third gospel is from Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife, but he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, thank you, Sally and Jane and Helen, for those three readings. Let's just pray as we begin. Father, guide us and lead us as we hear your word. Fill us with your spirit. Speak to us, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I love this service at this time of night. Nobody's sort of dashing away because they've got to go and prepare lunch. Well, I hope not. I don't know. I hope you've got that. Well, you may not have it sorted already, but now is probably not the time, is it? There's a sense of sort of timelessness at this time of the night. And those Old Testament prophecies also, for me, there's a sense of timelessness, isn't there? They're speaking across the centuries before Christ. That one from Isaiah, that first reading, that first prophecy, it's an ideal reading for midnight in winter. Into the darkness, the light shines, the light of God in a dark world without hope. And in the dark, a child is born. And this child, says Isaiah, this child will be great. He will be a ruler, a king, a governor. And not simply for a lifetime, not simply for a period, but for a long time, forever into eternity. because this is God's child. This is the Messiah. This is the Christ, the anointed Saviour. Isaiah's prophecy into the future and into eternity. And then that second reading from the prophet Micah about little Bethlehem. Ephrathah is a word that means fruitful. And it's a name that they associated with Bethlehem from right back in Genesis when Jacob, the patriarch, buried his wife Rachel there in Genesis chapter 35. I don't know, did any of you see The Alternativity on television? Did anybody watch that? It was a lovely... Thank you, Jane. My wife did, at least. Yeah. Good. It was a lovely little nativity play, but it was actually set in the real Bethlehem in Israel, right by the wall, and they performed this nativity play in the middle of Bethlehem with Palestinian children acting, and it was staged very close to the Church of the Nativity where Jesus was actually born, where it all really happened 2,000 years ago. But it was all a bit tense because there were the watchtowers leaning down and keeping an eye on whether they behaved or not and that sort of thing. Anyway, it was if you catch it on the television or on iPlayer or something, do have a watch. It was rather charming. Bethlehem was prophesied as the place where the Messiah would be born. And these prophecies and others underline that everything in the Old Testament is building to the birth of Jesus. Everything is fulfilled in the Messiah. Everything comes together in the Christ. So the Bible is a bit like an hourglass shape. It's all sort of funneling down to this moment, to the birth of Jesus. All the prophecies, all the promises, all the teaching and the laws, all the build-up, the preparations focused on this moment in Bethlehem. A baby is born, but it's actually the turning point of history. And from then on, from Jesus, everything expands again and spreads out. The gospel of good news, the kingdom of God being proclaimed in Jerusalem and Judea and throughout the Roman Empire and to the ends of the earth. Thank you to Helen for Matthew's gospel, our reading from St. Matthew. Are there any children here tonight? No. Okay, it's X-rated this because it's sex lessons from Joseph's angle. What must it have been like to be Joseph, do you think? Tradition tells us that Joseph was older than Mary, but he was pledged to be married to her, an arranged marriage. And she would probably have been quite a young teenager, perhaps only 12, 13, 14, something like that. And their society, of course, was very traditional. No sex before marriage or anything like that. But to get married so young, that was perfectly normal, quite ordinary. And Joseph would have probably felt quite protective towards his young bride. But before they came together, Matthew tells us, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. What a shock! Particularly in their traditional culture. And it sounds as if Joseph wasn't entirely sure how to handle this. He didn't know at that stage that it was from God, from the Holy Spirit. What was he to do? We're told that Joseph was a righteous man, faithful to the law of God. And the law said that if his wife displeases him in some way, then he's to write her a certificate of divorce and send her away. A very public disgrace to divorce the woman. And indeed, if he finds that she is not a virgin when he marries her, that's even worse. and she's to be dragged outside the door of her father's house, and the men of the town gather together and stone her to death. So in other words, Joseph divorcing her quietly was not harsh or cruel as we might think of it today. It was actually gentle. It was actually a kindness compared to what the law says he should have done. So he was in a real dilemma, I think. And then, that night, in a dream, he sees an angel who gives him a very clear message. Do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. In other words, Mary is a good girl. She's not been with any man. It was God's Holy Spirit which had made her pregnant. The virgin birth, as we call it. Some see it as a litmus test of belief in Scripture. Others say, nah, it's an irrational, unbelievable miracle. Well, it's never been a core part of the creed, a vital part of Christian faith. Jesus' death and resurrection are far more important to our faith. But I think it is a fascinating part of the story. Jesus would not have had any of Joseph's genes or DNA. He would not have looked like Joseph, I guess, at all. He would have had Mary's DNA. He was her son. He would have looked like her. And any other genetic material? Well, we don't know, do we? God doesn't have DNA. Or perhaps a little more accurately, God has all the DNA. It's all his, and it all comes from him. But Jesus' nature is unique. Fully God and fully man. 100% divine and 100% human. It's tough to get our heads around that, isn't it? Not 50-50, a mixture, but fully both natures in a way that defies normal logic. And if you say that doesn't make sense, then I guess I've got to agree. Because miracles are like that. They're beyond our normal understanding. They're beyond our everyday experience. This was a unique happening, almost by definition, beyond understanding. Which is not to say miracles can't happen, only that they don't normally happen. God stepped in and did something truly wonderful. And he explains this to Joseph in a dream. God seems to speak to Joseph in dreams. There are actually three further instances in Matthew in the following chapter, verses 13 and 19 and 22. And in all of those four dreams, all those four cases, Joseph doesn't actually say anything. He just does what he's told. He's obedient. I know we normally think of Mary as the obedient one, don't we? But Joseph is obedient too. He is perhaps the unsung hero. When Joseph woke up, Matthew says, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate the marriage. He had no union with her until she gave birth to a son. And he gave him the name Jesus. What a strange family that must have been, mustn't it? Later on, the Gospels mention brothers and sisters. But of course, strictly, they're only half siblings, aren't they? The letters of James and Jude are said to be written by two of Jesus' half-brothers, all children of Mary and Joseph, except for Jesus, of course, the child of Mary and the Holy Spirit of God. We don't hear so much about Joseph, which I think is a pity. Maybe he was the strong, silent type. Let's just hear his story again to conclude. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he'd considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus.